Welcome to Forum. I'm your host, Sean Bellent. Today on the program, we'll look back at the events of last weekend, the mega fire that attacked a good portion of Montgomery County. That's up ahead on today's edition of Forum. 4,500 acres scorched, a fire that reached a mile in width and 6.7 miles in length. An unbelievable scene Saturday as a team of 300 firefighters from nine counties converged on Montgomery County to deal with a mega ground fire. I had a chance to talk with David Calk Sr., the assistant fire chief over at Shoal Creek Fire Protection District. He noted they were never prepared for anything of that size.
Specifically to this scenario, not necessarily. We do train quite a bit on situations that would overreach our capabilities ourselves. We do a lot of training interdepartmentally with areas. But as far as having specific training exactly for a widespread wildland fire like we had, ground cover fire, no, we can't. We have so many areas that we need to train in and so many hours in the day in the year to do that training that it's just impossible to totally focus on a certain scenario and fully train in that. We have to kind of fall back on our general training that are set aside and given to us by the Illinois Fire Service Institute and the State Fire Marshal's Office overseas to kind of get us through these situations.
As big as the fire was, even when they reached the scene, it wasn't clear immediately that this blaze would be historic.
Initially, when we responded, we thought we had a normal bread and butter every season, every harvest season fire of a piece of equipment that maybe threw a spark and caught a stubble field on fire or even a standing field on fire. When we arrived, it was surrounding a home, a farm. Farm property, and we were focused on that initially. After a couple of minutes, I stepped back and kind of got a big picture of it, and I took a big gulp and kind of took a deep breath and got my wits about me and realized that this is much bigger than just the normal run-of-the-mill harvest season field fire. 40-mile-an-hour gusts and sustained winds of 29, standing corn, standing beans, brush that's dry, all kinds of vegetation. You know how dry it is out there. No humidity in the air at all. I knew that we were gonna be in for a hard hit. So a new page is opened, and things kind of developed from there.
Chief Calk talks about the mutual aid resources that came into play.
Exactly. We use in Illinois. The MABUS system, which is a mutual aid box alarm system. It was developed out west along with the incident command system. It was actually developed for wildland fires out west, Colorado, California, those areas. California, of course, was a big a state that pushed this system. And it's developed across the country in areas since then, since the 70s. It's a very amazing situation. It's a very amazing system when it falls into play. And most area departments use incident command in the MABUS system in their calls every day, every call they go out on. The incident command is established. Mutual aid is requested through the MABUS system. And it's normally a handful of departments in your local area that respond and you all pitch in and give a hand. We all try to play by the same rules in those situations, so we work safely and efficiently, and we're not stepping on each other trying to do the same task at once. This was a totally different situation where we had to reach out multi-county. We had nine counties involved in this fire. Now, a large fire in our area would maybe involve nine fire departments. This one involved departments from nine counties. The way that's established and the way it gets kicked off is you just tell the dispatch center that you're working through that you're requesting a interdivisional request for assistance, and basically you step back and that incident commander or that officer is able to freely go about fighting the fire or dealing with the task at hand that takes it the entire request and having to think through who should I call next, what do we need now, takes it off their mind and lets kind of places it on the dispatch center to get the word out that further assistance is needed. And what happened Saturday was basically the command center or the dispatch center made calls to the other area MABUS divisions. We all work through divisions, which are basically county lines. They were able to reach out to numerous MABUS division dispatch centers in our region, not in our locality, or in our locale, and just make a simple request. Interdivisional request is being made by Division 56, Division 58, which is bombed in Montgomery County. And the cavalry was rounded up and arrived.
And the chief was blown away by the turnout from farmers, who played a crucial role.
Exactly. We couldn't have done this without them, and I can't say that enough, and I can't give enough thanks to not only the local farmers, but regionally. We had farmers coming up from the Vandalia area, the Greenville area. They were taking quite a trek for them to pick up what they were doing, pick up their equipment, and leave their own property, their own fields. They were all busy Saturday with the weather trying to beat the rain that we finally received last night. For them to drop what they were doing and respond to assist their farm friends that they probably didn't even know was simply amazing. They were able to draw lines around properties, around fence rows, on roadways even for us. And it was just amazing. It was just amazing.
Calk called the sound of raindrops an emotional experience.
You know, when the first rain hit my roof last night, I think I started crying a little bit because I was so relieved. Even though we did not get enough rain to call off our burn ban in Bond County, it was overwhelming that we were able to at least hear some rain hitting the rooftop. And I actually went outside on the patio and stood in it and just took a deep breath, just so relieved. Mother Nature was angry, and she was going to do what she wanted to do with that fire. And it took quite a bit of effort to get this thing contained, let alone put out. It was developing in fingers. It didn't burn a perfect square or rectangle. It was burning in fingers, and it sounds kind of odd, but fire burns quicker uphill than down. And even though the most of the property that was involved was fairly flat, we did have a lot of valleys, small draws and fields and things like that. But it would really take off in those areas. It would get up in the fence rows in the timber and kind of lay there and do its thing and eventually break out and take off again. Yeah, it wasn't an easy task. It was not an easy task at all.
He notes it's hard to calculate farmers' losses and determine what was harvested and what wasn't.
That I can't even begin to give you estimates on that amount. I did talk to a farmer this morning up there while we were doing an investigation. I don't know how much acreage he covers, but he said that he had at least 300 acres that had burned of his own crops that he had not harvested yet. So it's a significant amount for anyone that had crops in that area.
For Calk, it was a special moment of people coming together in divisive times.
Sure. We had every type of department imaginable out there. We had, of course, the volunteers in our area. They get absolutely nothing of their time other than maybe a pat on the back and a bottle of water at most call. We had paid on-call departments who get a small stipend for each call they respond to. And then we had paid departments that were involved. And sometimes there's a little strife between that type of situation. That wasn't the case Saturday. All differences for everyone involved went aside, and you fought for a common goal. There were no political parties. The pandemic everyone's experiencing went away for a while. Any difference within anyone went away, and we all worked together and achieved the goal. I was overwhelmed by many things Saturday and into yesterday, into Sunday, because we still had fires that were popping up from the winds shifting into the north and picking up a little bit. Some hot spots were popping up. I was overwhelmed by the power of nature. And when Mother Nature wants to do something, she's going to do it, and it's going to be difficult to stop.
I was overwhelmed by the sight of watching homes, or a home. We only lost one, but I'm aware of at this point how fast one can go up from an exterior fire source. It was just totally surrounded by fire from the exterior, and it managed to make its way inside and take off, which is very, very sickening for me to sit there and watch. But on the other hand, along with the overwhelming negatives, there were positives. The support and the outpour of community support was just unbelievable. We initially set up a command post and a rehabilitation center outside of Hillsboro, and we were able to manage to find a farmer that was willing and more than willing to loan us one of his buildings for a while, and the community got word, and we had an outpouring from the health department, from restaurants, from individuals. Of food, drinks, powered energy drinks, water, anything we needed, someone in the community supplied. And, that's the Midwestern, way. When someone's down, someone's going to supply what that person needs to help them through a tough time. And I can't appreciate what the community is in an area, not necessarily a certain city. We all worked together, and we all made this come together and come to a close. And we couldn't have done it without the support of the folks in this area.
The great thing for all departments involved, this had to be a great learning experience for, what potentially may come. I have to think, even if it's a completely different fire, let's say something in an industrial park, I can think of like PAX there in St. Louis there a few years ago.
Sure.
Completely different fire. But one of those situations where you have to combine fire departments that have maybe a different day-to-day role, being able to coordinate this kind of manpower together, I have to think there are benefits for every single firefighter suited up.
Exactly. This will be a learning experience for people in this area, for departments in this area. For generations, and we're currently in the very infantile stages of getting an after-action review together and getting departments together and getting information out there for what went right, what went wrong, so they can take things back to their individual departments and learn from. I can see this eventually involving maybe a statewide or even further out. A good learning experience, a good training tool for departments that are used to dealing with all types of emergencies but haven't necessarily ever dealt with something like this. I know of no departments in this region, in this area, that have ever had to deal with something of this magnitude. And I'll add that other departments had fires as well at the same time. I know WIT had to leave our scene to go fight a large ground cover fire themselves. A separate incident up near the Nokomis area. So, you had to step back and be flexible. If departments had to depart our scene to go deal with their own scenes, that's just the way it is. And you just fill the gaps of another department and keep moving. So there are a lot of things that I learned. I'm still processing it. I will be for weeks probably, trying to get through my head what I saw, what I experienced, and what was right and wrong, and where we can improve. And I'm sure other departments are doing the same thing as well today.
Calk says when it comes right down to it, firefighters at the scene didn't know the meaning of quit.
Sure, sure. There were many people that just would not quit. There were times there were departments that needed to leave, that needed to get some rest, that needed to come in and rehab, that needed to go home because of drive. We had departments from over an hour away that were helping with this, and they were simply not wanting to quit. They simply wanted to keep working and wanted to get this thing to a close. And that says a lot for the firefighters and the people involved. They simply did not want to give up. Even when things were under control and it was down to hot spots and, making passes through and putting out small spot fires, departments did not want to quit. They wanted to stay there until the end, and most did. As far as the individuals out there on the ground, yes, things have evolved since I began in this in the early 80s, but there's still a huge physical aspect to this. You can get certain equipment into certain areas, but there are some areas you got to dismount and get in there with hand tools and put it out. There's still a huge physical aspect of the wildland firefighting, and ground cover fires like this. It'll never all go away.
And I imagine these are stories that you're not going to stop telling anytime soon. 20, 30 years down the road, these stories will continue to be shared and probably passed down.
Sure. Many times you go to a training session, in the area that maybe the Fire Service Institute's putting on or an individual department's putting on and throwing invitations out. You get in there and, things get away from the text at hand and the information that is officially in that course of material, in that course that they should be covered, and it becomes talking about past experiences from some of the older folks that have seen things that others haven't. That can become a bit aggravating at times because it stretches out the class or stretches out the course, or you miss things that are in the written part of the course. But you got to step back and think, you can learn more face-to-face listening to someone than you can reading in a book or in a PowerPoint presentation. So you kind of stop and take that in and learn from that as well. Unfortunately, I'll be one of those folks that'll be talking about this for a long time.
Well, thanks to Assistant Fire Chief David Calk, Sr. from the Shoal Creek Fire Protection District, and all of the firefighters and those who helped along the way, and farmers who put aside their plows for farming purposes and use them as a firefighting implement. That's a wrap for Forum. We'll see you again next week on WSMI.